Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, taking you through a Thursday afternoon, counting you down to some high school baseball a little bit later on today. Indians are off tonight, and tomorrow they begin a weekend series against the Kansas City Royals. They were able to snap a four-game slide with a victory yesterday in a Wednesday matinee over the Milwaukee Brewers. And we're going to talk some Tribe now with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Our conversations with Rosie on a weekly basis are brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off Walker Road. If you head to Erie Burger Company, you can try a burger made with local grass-fed beef. They have a large lineup of sandwiches for you to choose from as well. Sweet potato fries, fresh-cut fries, and more. Visit Erie Burger Company in Avon Lake Town Center right off Walker Road. Rosie, a pleasure as always to catch up with you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bull. How are you?
So far, so good. Hopefully things will change in the weather forecast over the weekend. I know there's at least a little bit of rain in it for the time being. But, you know, the Tribe, obviously, with a nice win yesterday, snapping a four-game slide. Rosie, sometimes you get to a point in the season where you go through a stretch where little to nothing is going right. Now, the Indians were able to right some wrongs at the beginning of the road trip. But, you know, that just seemed to be one of those trips where if something could go wrong, well, it went wrong.
Yeah, and really, I mean, to be honest, Bill, I think it just came down to the bullpen not being able to hold some leads over in New York. And, you know, the game on Tuesday night in Milwaukee, just a well-pitched game on both sides. But, you know, they're going through a stretch with the pen. And what it's done with Andrew Miller out, it's given others an opportunity, and they've struggled. But at times they've been okay. I think Tuesday night was real positive in that between Evan Marshall and Tyler Olson and Zach McAllister, they kept the game close and didn't let things get spread out. Did the Indians win? No, they didn't. But, you know, that was encouraging. And I think the one, you know, if you look for a silver lining during this stretch where the bullpen has really had a tough time, it's that they're getting a chance to pitch in key spots. And hopefully that opportunity will lead to some better results down the road for pitchers who aren't normally in that spot. So, you know, they went 1-4 in the trip. That's not good. But they played arguably the best team in baseball right now. The Yankees are playing better than anybody. They're hotter than any team in baseball. And then they played a really good Brewers team and split. So, you know, I think if it was toward the end of the season, maybe there's a little more worry, but at least for right now, it's just a stretch where they ran into two pretty good ball clubs at a time when the Indians aren't playing their best, and the results, you know, they kind of speak for themselves.
Sure, no question about that. And I think any time of the year you get swept by the Yankees, people are going to overreact because, look, the reality of it is nobody likes losing, period, but everybody hates losing to the Yankees for all the obvious reasons. And I think there may still be a bitter taste left in the mouths of fans in the area, too, because of the way last season ended. You think that had a lot to do with also, I mean, not just the Indians running into a red-hot Yankees team, which, again, as you mentioned, Rosie, they're playing better than any other team in baseball, but it was the idea that it was the Yankees above all else?
I don't know. You know, I think... You mean from a player standpoint or more from a fan standpoint?
Just a fan standpoint. I mean, I understand.
Oh, fan standpoint, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely. You know, I think that's fair to say because, yeah, I mean, from a fan's perspective, our perspective, you know, you look at it and it's, you know, the team that knocked you out and all that kind of stuff. I think from a player's perspective, maybe sometimes that comes into play, but I just think there's certain times over the course of the season. And you know, the Yankees are a little bit different. They didn't necessarily face some of the pitchers that they faced in that playoff series, albeit on Friday night they did catch Sabathia. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's fair to say from a fan standpoint, sure. You know, I was tough last October, no question. And you'd love to have been able to go into New York here this May and be able to do some damage. But, I think that's fair to say. Yeah, fans' perspective, it was a big deal.
Rosie, I want to focus on one particular guy here for a moment. This is a guy we talked about, I think, just before the opening day roster was released. Boy, Tyler Naquin has played really well this season, and he certainly is making a case for when everybody gets healthy that he should not be a guy that exits the lineup. I mean, I think he was the guy early in the year. He had a target on his back, whereas if, look, things start to progress, guys get healthy, he's probably going to be the odd man out. But I think it's safe to say that he's made a very strong case that he cannot be the odd man out. As well as he's hit the ball so far this season, I heard your home run call on his three-run shot yesterday against the Brewers. And what are some things that you noticed that he maybe is doing differently that wasn't working for him, or things that weren't working for him last year?
Well, in talking with him, it took him a while to get healthy last year. He had a slight knee issue in spring training, and then his back flared up on him after the season had begun, and he just never got healthy enough to get on any kind of roll. And you know, he wasn't in the mix very long at the start of the season. He opened the year with the team because of some injuries last year, but that went away. And once he went to Columbus, he just could never get back in the mix. And I think he played 19 games up here. So, you know, it was hard for him ever to get on a roll. He's completely healthy. He was saying that that's the biggest thing. He got himself right in the off season in terms of health with the knee and the back. And he was able to just work more on things that he likes to work on hitting-wise. And he just looks so much more relaxed at the plate. And he said a lot of it is, between a knee and a back, you use your legs and your base so much in hitting, and he didn't have that last year. So he has that back, and I think it's showing. I mean, he's flaring the ball to the opposite field when the pitch is called for that. And then yesterday I think we saw he's plenty strong enough to hit a decent amount of home runs. And it's nice to see, and I'll tell you, the Indians are right now, because of the way he's playing, they can afford to take it really slow with the calf injury for Lonnie Chisenhall and make sure that that thing's completely healed. But they'll have a tough decision when Chisenhall is healthy, and that seems like it's still a long way off. But, are they getting the same production from a left-handed hitting outfielder that they did from Chisenhall? That'll be real interesting to see what happens. But as we know in this game, I mean, if he's still 4 to 6 weeks off, or maybe it's only 2 weeks off, whatever it may be, usually these things work themselves out, and we'll see what happens. But to Tyler Nakin's credit, he has made it one of those nice decisions that they'll have to make because of how he has played, and he's been a big boost to this ball club.
No question about that. Again, we're talking with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, and our conversations with Rosie are brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Rosie, yesterday, you know, a lot of people were, I don't want to call it hot and bothered, but I think there were some on one side of the ledger, some on the other, as far as, you know, keeping a starting pitcher into the game as long as Tito Francona did yesterday with Carlos Carrasco. Look, bottom line is the Indians won the game, whether you want to make the argument that maybe he threw too many pitches or he was in the game too long. As you were watching that game last night, did you get the sense that maybe he didn't want to go to the bullpen because, A, Carrasco was as effective as he was, or B, and I know a lot of people are coming to this conclusion, thinking that maybe, just maybe, because that trip was as rough on the bullpen as it was, he wanted to stretch his starter out knowing he had an extra day of rest between starts, and maybe he just wanted to give the bullpen a day off?
Well, probably a combination of that. I think he had Olsen and Allen up in the pen in the ninth inning, and had it gotten into a bad place, I think he would have felt more than comfortable going to either one. Certainly would have been Allen in a closing situation. I just think it was one of those days where Carrasco was having a good day. And a lot of times, I know it's hard sometimes for fans because they just look at, okay, what was it, 117 pitches he threw?
Yes.
They look at that, 117 pitches. That's too many. But I think a lot of times what the coaches look at is, how did he get there? He had no trouble whatsoever. Like, it wasn't like he was in these jams where he had to make these 25-pitch innings with runners on base and just constantly having to make pitch after pitch in a tight spot. He was cruising, absolutely cruising. So I think how he got to the 117, you have to look at that too. And you know, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I kind of defer to to Tito and Carl Willis and the others, if they feel that, and you brought up a great point, he had an extra day rest, was kind of cruising along, and I think that the time to have gotten him out would have been the top of the ninth. If they didn't feel that he was going to go the distance or was in a good place, they would not have let him hit in the top half of the ninth inning. But once they let him hit, that was an indication to me that they felt he was going fine, and if he needed about 15 to 20 pitches to get through the ninth inning, that would be fine, and he'd be okay. Look, we're not going to know till the season rolls along if that was a good decision or a bad decision, but 117 pitches to me, and I don't know if that's that many. Everyone has this number, 100 pitches. That's like the magic number. Well, every pitcher's different. Every situation's different. If it was 130, yeah, you'd probably say that's way too many. But I think where he was and how he got there, I think he'll be just fine. And if he gets blown up the next starting, we can talk about it next week. But I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail right on the head there, Rosie. Look, every pitcher is different. You know, how many times do we hear about how Trevor Bauer does things differently? People say he's got the bionic arm. He's the kind of guy that can pitch five innings in relief in extra innings and then come out and start the next day. Every pitcher is different. I mean, I think, look, physically, every pitcher is structured differently too. So, you know, the idea of this magic number, I'm with you. I think it's baffling because some people say, oh, 100 pitches. You can't throw a guy for more than 100 pitches in May because that means he's going to be totally gassed when it comes time to have him throw in the postseason. I think with some pitchers, certainly you can make that case. To other guys, look, I think it's just totally different. Guys are conditioned to handle these things differently, so I'm with you on that. It's just, it's bizarre, but I think, you know, we get to this point in the year, we're at, you know, what, a week or two into May. Sometimes people just need something to poke at, and when things aren't going right, you're looking for the low-hanging fruit. But look, I think the bottom line is, look, the Tribe came out with a 6-2 win yesterday. They snapped a losing streak. And, you know, I want to get back to the bullpen for just a second because I know you and Hammy made the point yesterday on the broadcast that, you know, guys in a bullpen like the ones that Milwaukee have, they're going to get noticed if they're winning and they're winning consistently. But Milwaukee's a team that's kind of on the fringe right now. We don't know what they're going to look like in a couple of months. It's a team a lot of people kind of thought would be hitting the cover off the ball, but they've been shut out 6 or 7 times this year. As we look at that bullpen, and you know, I mean, this is 2 months down the road, but who are some of the arms in that Milwaukee bullpen that really stood out to you that if indeed, you know, we get closer to that trade deadline and the Indians might be looking for an arm to bolster that bullpen, who are some of the guys that really stood out to you?
Well, the one absolute was Josh Hader, who threw the 2 innings to finish up on Tuesday night. We were talking between innings. His slider and the way he was going about it, you looked out there and you said, that's Andrew Miller for Milwaukee. He's good. They bring in some power arms. Jeremy Jeffress was really good. The Brewers aren't trading any of that. They're going to hang in there, I think, unless something goes bad with their starting pitching. I think they'll hang in there in that division to the point where I can't see them being sellers at the trade deadline. I really don't. But the two that stood out to me that we saw would certainly be Hader and Jeffries, just power arms, but good off-speed stuff too, and just an absolute handful for the hitters.
Good stuff, Rosie. Well, hey, Rosie, we always appreciate it. Hopefully you get the opportunity to enjoy your off day today before you guys get back after it again tomorrow night, and we'll do this again next week.
Sounds good, Bull. Thanks.
Thank you, Rosie. Again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Every week when we talk with Rosie, the conversation's brought to you by Erie Burger Company in Avon Lake Town Center. It's right off of Walker Road. Try a burger made with local grass-fed beef. They've got a big lineup of sandwiches for you to choose from as well. Try their awesome fresh-cut fries. You will not be disappointed. Make sure you visit Erie Burger Company. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I will return with Steve Bailey to wrap up today's show with the final half hour right after this on AM 930 WEOL.